This morning we're going to just be doing a little different for a minute or two. I want to do a little bit of a recap from camp. Last Sunday was Father's Day, so it went a little different. It seems like camp was like 2 years ago, but it was 2 weeks ago that we were with Pastor Frank and at camp and enjoying the season of our camp. And I just don't want to run past it, if I can say that, and encourage, and I'm talking to the choir because most of you were there, but those who weren't, maybe it'll be new for you. But to refresh your pure minds, as Peter said, by way of remembrance of some of the things that God was speaking to us. And the reason I want to do it for myself is we make a very big investment into camp, if I can put it that way, financially, but also time. You know, we're talking of tens of thousands of dollars from you and from the church and investing into bringing guests and the camp and the whole thing for the weekend. And I just don't want to run past it. Is that okay? Because I believe it's a significant time. Every year, and all the times are prayer and fasting times. Every Sunday, of course, is a celebration of what we are as a church. But camp itself just seems to be kind of a milestone, just a putting up a memorial and saying, thus has the Lord been with us, you know, he's traveled with us. And I want to speak about it, and I want to encourage a couple of reasons. First, other than what I said financially, an investment of time, your time, our time, everyone's time, but there's a couple of things that camp does, and if you weren't there, you missed, and you need to be there. But one of them is just renewing, restoring, refreshing relationships. And if you don't see it as a fun time for yourself, just watch the kids, watch the families, watch people interacting with one another. And you come away and you say, okay, that is a milestone. That is an important time where we don't get a lot of those times as church members. We show up on a Sunday, we encourage each other, we spend some time in life groups when life groups are on. And it's just a special time to be together with others to encourage one another. And the other big plus for me from camp is the spiritual unity. There's just something about taking time to be with people and family and church family and then just praying together, worshiping together, playing together, all the things together, eating together. That is the New Testament church. You know, you read the book of Acts, they did it daily. They met in their houses and they met in the temples and they worshiped God. And it was like they're living in this sense of we are together and they're sharing food and sharing life. And, you know, they're waiting for Brad to sell a property and bring some money. Whatever, you know, Russell, just that sense of we're together in this thing. And that's what camp is good for. And that's why we invest the time and we invest the money. And I just want to encourage those who couldn't come or didn't come to pray about it. And I want to speak about some of the things that Frank brought. I'll try not to just repeat. He preached three one-hour-long sermons, so I won't do that. But just touch on a few things, a few highlights that spoke to me. And as you know, if I was brave, I'd ask for a testimony this morning of someone who was at camp that, you know, you got a word from God or you received a miracle or just were blessed. Is there anyone? And I'm not saying we're going to give testimonies, but you say, yeah, camp was good. Camp was a blessing. Yeah, wonderful. And if you have to share it, run to the front and I'll let you share it. Oh, Selma's coming right now. You can't stop your mother-in-law. Just one sec, there we go.
I've been to camp every year so far, but this year I was unable to go because of some...
Praise the Lord.
Leonard.
You never know what you're going to get, right? No, but, go big.
I only was able to come Saturday night. I talked my daughter into coming, and she agreed. We drove out and had the one service that I had. But I was so blessed. I really was so blessed. It was a good message. And you said about the togetherness. Even then, I felt the togetherness. And the camp is really wonderful. And I really missed it this year. But praise God, He is real.
Amen. Amen. You saved it. Good job. Now, you know, I know my mother-in-law. She would not miss a meeting unless you can't get out of bed and you can't walk. And she has been serving in this church from day one. If you remember back in the school days, and whatever that school, Greenfield, we'd have to tell her, just slow down. We got people who will help put these chairs away, because just, I remember saying, Mom, and I'm honoring you this morning, I wished we had 100 of Selma when we planted this church. Just work, just that, I don't know, it's born into that generation of serving and working and praying and giving and doing it. So bless you, and I'm glad you got to camp, even if it was for one day. Because I know how important it is. I know how much you love it. How much you love just to be here on a Sunday. And you, I see you, the pain sometimes and the work sometimes, just to get to a service. So I appreciate that. And I know God's got special blessing for us when we do that. So, and it's not like you're doing it out of this heavy duty. You love it. You love the house. And you love people. And you love being together. So bless you. Seriously. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. That's what I want, 100 more of those. But I do appreciate those who sponsored those to come, gave so others could be there. We say it all the time, don't let finances be what keep you back. And it's kind of why I'm recapping about camp, and don't put me on the clock yet, because I haven't started, but we value that. And we're going to fight for that. And I know it costs, and I know it takes effort, but I could point out people right here in this audience this morning who I saw at camp, and I know the sacrifice that it meant to get there, and the cost, and then to see the blessing of it, and to pray with one another, and just, anyhow. So that's a plug for camp. Is that okay? If you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 28, I'm just going to, you can put up the slide. Frank spoke three times. And the first one was, I called Feed the Fire. He was talking about the fire, Acts 28, verse 1 to 10. And he took the story of the, you know, the shipwreck and the fire and all the things that took place during that time and how God blessed them and used them and through the fire challenged them. And I'm going to highlight about 4 points from it. First of all, God will bring people who don't look like us. You remember that? And Pastor Toby talked about it in the prayer meeting. Just, if I don't want to preach his message, but the fact is, invite people to church. And then people who God's going to bring are not going to look like us. And we got to be willing and walking with them and praying that God would minister. And, you know, I've always said it this way. I wonder if I today could reach myself when I was 15, when I came into the church for the first time. Would I come into this church? And if I did, what would I find when I got here? And I pray that we would have that heart of evangelism and reaching out and caring and ministering. I liked his comment, the lost are our job security. We'll always have a job because the need to preach. So I invite your family, invite your friends to the church, invite. That's the simplest form of evangelism you can do. Just say, hey, come with. And he spent quite a bit of time on that. I like to stay on the boat, whether it's in the church or in your family. In the middle of a storm, stay on the boat. He says God took them from shipwreck to sweetness, to Malta. I love that picture. And we are praying for people even this morning with storms going on in their life, that God will and does take us from that place of a storm to a sweetness. He's got a sweet place for us. Even if the storm is raging, he can still take us to a sweet place. And again, I don't want to preach that message about, this thing is really weird today. My ears are not hooked on here. Just the amazing goodness of God to take us from a storm place to a sweet place. And he does that. And we don't, I don't want to preach it, but as soon as I mention these things, they turn into sermons. But he wants to, I'm trying to shorten it here, but maybe I'll leave it, because if I go there, we'll be there all morning. But whatever storm you're in, don't get a storm mindset that this is it. I'm going to be here for life. I'm always in the storm. Do you remember that? Just that picture that, don't get a storm mindset. Believe God that, okay, we're in a battle, we're in a storm, but he's going to take us to a sweet place. He's got a place for us, and it may only be in heaven, but he's going to get us through this thing. There's way more important things than this storm we're in. Okay, God takes them to Malta. There's fire. We are living in cold days, and we need fire more than ever. Passion is needed in our churches and in our homes. The Holy Spirit is in the service, but not his actions. We need the Holy Spirit in our churches and our lives where we feel comfortable. The areas of our life. Here, let me say it my way. Are you getting comfortable, too comfortable? You need to stir it up. We need to stir passion into one another. We need to feed the fire. Those were all points in the sermon at camp, and we don't want to just run by them. We feed the fire for one another. We encourage one another. When we come to church, the Sundays when you're battling just to get to the front door, and you need the encouragement of someone else to come alongside and say, hey, I'm praying with you. I'm standing with you. I'm in this with you. And I take you back to the kids. Children lead us in this stuff. When I see them, when they find each other, and they are excited, and when they run for their class, and they're just living life. And the devil and the world we live in and circumstance wants to suck the passion out of us. And so a service very easily can just shrink down to the lowest common denominator. You know, the Eroys of the world. When we need a few Tiggers just bouncing. You know, I say it all the time. Where's Kay? I see him back there. Do not go quiet on us. You're not a quiet guy. Don't get quiet. Like, we need passion. We need to feed the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Are you with me? At least, you know, Frank could go like this until you say something. We carry the fire. We feed the fire. The Holy Spirit is here. God's not going to do any more than he's already done. He poured out his Holy Spirit. He died on the cross. It's real. He's coming back soon. It's up to us. He says, stir up the gifts that are in you. What's the gift in you? Stir it up. You say, well, I don't know. Let them pray, and God will stir up the gifts in your life, whether it's prayer, you know, administration, giving, hospitality, the spiritual gifts, if nothing else, that are, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to release through our lives. What is it that God's got in your life? I love seeing a new drummer. If I could drum, I would drum you sick. I believe that's why God didn't allow me to sing, because if I could sing, every service would be singing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Frank sang, I can sing. Frank. Remember, yeah, if you're at camp, you know. Stay on the boat. Gather sticks. We need to keep the fire going. We need to feed the fire, fan into flame, all of that. And then, you know, I like this line. You can't live off of someone else's fire. We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. But you need the fire of the Holy Spirit. And then the fire will reveal the vipers in our life and the things that are hidden in our life. And then I wanted to get to this line, is the devil attacks what God wants to use in our lives. Amen? Shake it off into the fire, that picture of the snake. What's holding on to you, shame, addiction. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit, a place to shake that off. But I just want to stay here for a minute. The devil will attack what God wants to anoint in your life. Some have the gifts, I don't even start naming them, but that's what the enemy's going to go after. And he's going to take you down. I've seen people whose gift is the joy and just passion for God, and the enemy will go after them until they can hardly stand up anymore. Just, he's such a devil. You know, used to preach that line where the lady, I think it was 18 years, she was bent over, and Jesus spoke to the demon, and she was healed. Remember that story? It's 18 years, right? I think that's helped me here. Yeah. I'm going to my resident theologian over there. If he gives the nod, then I'm good. I'm an evangelist, that's why. But what I liked about that story is, or whatever you want to say liked, is like, how stupid is the devil that his whole job for 18 years is to make a lady cripple? That's it. Stupid devil. And Jesus speaks one word, and she's released. And she stands up straight, and she's healed. And I'm praying that in this season that we're in, as we come together, and that's what I take out of a camp meeting of us together, is that we speak to those things. And we recognize the devil's attack on the areas of our life that God wants to anoint. You have a gift. You have an area that you should be ministering in. Sometimes it's just hospitality. Sometimes it's just kindness. And you do it and you get burned and somebody does something and somebody says something or you get tired of it. Yeah, why am I the only one that's ever decorating this building or whatever? Why am I the only one that's ever giving? Why am I the only one that's serving? No, thank God that you have a gift in your life that you can serve God with. And you do it. Do it as unto the Lord. And if nobody cares or sees or, you know, I want to honor Les this morning. I think they had to, is he still in here somewhere? I know they were here earlier and he's spraying the weeds and he's picking up the garbage. And Les fixed the men's urinal this week. Like, whoever sees it? And he doesn't say, thank me for it. He just is serving. And I'm telling you, it's God who rewards that. We don't pay him. We thank him. We bless him. We've done good things for them. But it's like we do these things because we love God. There's a passion in our heart. People who sing up here, people who play, people who teach kids. Like, man, half of them are your kids. We need the passion of God stirred up in our lives. So if you talk about the fire, you talk about the attack of the enemy, what's the enemy attacking in your life? Your joy, your passion. I could tell you mine. I don't want to. I'm talking about yours, where the devil knows just how to twist the knife. And that's when you got to say, no, not today, devil. Not today. And you know all the jokes, all the sermons the preachers use. You know, the guy's ready to give his $50, and the devil's like, well, you better be careful. You know, that's a lot of money and you're not going to have whatever. And shut up, devil, or I'll give 100. It's like, what's the devil attacking? Then we got to go after that thing. You don't have a passion for prayer anymore? You better start praying. And you better ask God for help. You don't like the Word of God anymore? It's gone cold. I don't know. It just seems like so many words. It's just, you better get into this word. You better seek him. You used to be fired up. You pray in the Holy Spirit. Now you don't? Yeah, you better get busy. Stir it up. Paul says, fan into flame. Like the old John Deere tractor where you get that flywheel going. You remember some of you younger fellows? We used to have one of those. My brother George, I think it had one cylinder. And it had a little motor on the side, this little gas thing. And you get that flywheel going, this little electric, little gas motor. And you'd get the flywheel, everything going. And then finally that one big old piston would kick in. I don't know what kind of motor you got, a V8 or a one cylinder, but get that thing going. Stir it up. Pray. Seek God. I could preach the whole morning about it. And the things that are hanging on your life, whatever it is, addictions, brokenness, pain, don't say, these are mine. That's not who you are. Shake them into the fire. Shake them into the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I don't want to read my quote again, but I'll say it in my shortest words, is that's not who we are. You know, you remember the quote I quoted where you don't remember, but I quoted it anyhow, that, you know, when you get counseling, it should come with some sideline, some words that, you know, it's not who you are. It's great to identify you got a problem. It's great to identify things in your life, but then you deal with it and you move on and you get healed of it. And it's not who we are. It's not who I am. I had an issue. I'm not trying to make light of any issue, but then identify what it is, recognize it, and then go past it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Shake it off, depression, anxiety, brokenness, pain, unforgiveness, whatever you want me to list. They're there. It's real. I get it. We all deal with it. But that's not where I'm going to stay and live and spend my life. With God's strength and God's help, I'm going to move ahead in the things of God. So, gather some sticks. Do it. Number two, I can't do these all. Number two is the storms. Matthew 14, 1 to 10. Man, I love those stories. When we were in Israel, we're up on this hill. R.T. Kendall was our guide. We're as elders from the church in Pretoria, we all went there. And he had this special mountain where he believes where Jesus prayed. There's a little cave there. And we had this amazing prayer time. But up on this hill, you could see the entire Sea of Galilee. And that's where he believes, that doesn't matter, but you could see it, where Jesus saw them straining on the oars as they were battling storm. And then he walks out on the water. You know that story, right? Matthew 14. And he comes on the water. And then I tried to shorten it by putting a few things on the slide so I don't have to preach about them all. But how many have had storms? Remember that. How many are in a storm? Mm-hmm. How many are going to have a storm? That's the, yeah. You're pruned if you do and pruned if you don't. It's like the storms are coming. They're going to show up. And some are for personal growth and correction. I love that line, he calms the storm in our hearts first, before the storm. The lessons in the storm are more important than the destination. Hallelujah. That line I don't like so much. It's not a fun jumping up and down line. But God wants to work in us through the storms. Work in our hearts, work in our lives. More than getting us somewhere, more than removing the storm. And if, you know, if there was one prayer time, and I've said this many times, you know, we've had lots of amazing guests, and I love camp, and I love the special times, but usually in those times, because we're involved in the leading, you're kind of working the service. I don't know how else to say it. You're carrying the weight of it. You know what I mean? You're busy. But our prayer team, who have prayed for us, sometimes it was just in our Saturday mornings, and spoken words have blessed my life more than our guests, if I could put it that way, mostly because it's time to receive and get blessed. And at camp, I got prayed for and blessed. And if I share my testimony, it was a sweet young lady in the church just encouraging me that we've been walking on the water our whole life and to stay out on the water. And, you know, that picture of Jesus calling Peter onto the water, Peter said, "If that's you, Lord, call me onto the water to walk on it." He didn't calm the storm first. He called Peter out of the boat. In the middle of the storm, Peter got out and walked on the water. And I love that picture. I love that picture of us as believers, us as people of faith, encouraging each other. Yeah, the storms are there, but we walk on them. We are with the Lord in them. He's with us in the storm. And that's what he's trying to teach us, is that example of faith. And we learn more in the storm so many times than in the easy parts of life. I remember 100 years ago going through a personal ministerial battle, Lori and I and our family, and the whole thing with our mission and our call, and it wasn't what we wanted, it wasn't what we planned, and I could tell you a whole sad story from my side, just the pain of it. But I'm telling you, it changed the way we prayed. It changed the way we preached. It changed the way we did ministry, going through the hardest time in our life, financially, ministerial-wise, just being shook to our roots. We thought we had this thing figured out. We thought we were well-liked. We thought we were great in ministry and invited to churches and all these things. And all of a sudden, it felt like we had poop on our hands. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, I could explain it much better. But it was tough. And I remember in that time just crying out to God and hearing his voice like never before and saying, okay, are you serving me because there's a paycheck? Are you serving me because you're popular? Are you serving me because what? Or are you serving me because I called you into the ministry? And we had to make a choice. And it wasn't just a little choice. We had three little kids. Melanie was just like exactly like her daughter, Julia. And I remember looking at them, and it's like, okay. This is going to cost us everything, but today is the day. And I could take a month to tell you all the stuff, but it was like, I got nowhere else to go. There's nothing else I can do except to do what God's called me to do. And we had to make the decision. We had to make the plans. We had to sell everything we owned. We had to move. We had to act upon what God spoke to us to do. And I'm believing that's what God's doing in storms in our life. And I remember saying this to the whole church back in the day. Our church, this church, we're still in the school. Do you want me to pray for problems in your life? What's it going to take to get people to pray? What's it going to get people together to worship, to come alive, to not just get comfortable, not just get used to the things of God, just get used to a nice little churchy opportunity? What's it take to get us to pray for our kids, to pray for our marriages, to pray for our lives, pray for the city, pray, you know, maybe we just started Third World War this week. Who knows? But what's it going to take to get us to be praying people, to be passionate people for the kingdom of God? And I'm saying, Lord, don't put me through the fire like that. But I want that passion again. I want to live in that. I don't want to be trusting in my little pitiful savings or my little pitiful health. I've been to too many funerals again this week. I don't know if it's an age thing, what's going on, but we get to too many funerals right now. And the one yesterday was, you know, remember the little dash, born this year, dead this year, that little dash in between? And they made a whole point out of, that's our whole life. What are you doing with that little dash of life? And that's the truth. It's just a little moment in eternity that we get to decide how we're going to serve God and worship God. So what lessons are the storm teaching you? What are you working on? What is the enemy trying to squeeze out of you? Let's look at the third one. His third message was on contentment. Philippians chapter 4, verses I think it's around verse 10. I'm going to read it because I haven't read any scriptures yet this morning. But I like it. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Hallelujah. I like Paul. He's just the guy. And he's very thankful that the Philippian church was kind to him and blessed him and helped him, renewed their... You just think of his... You know, I don't want to preach the whole thing, but you know what the book of Philippians is about, from prison and all those things, and Frank took quite a bit of time to explain that. In the middle of that, he's preaching joy, he's preaching contentment, he's preaching amazing stuff. And he's saying, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you remembered me. I'm thankful that you encouraged me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to hear that this morning again. We need to learn the secret of contentment. The devil steals our joy. He's busy. He steals our ability to rejoice. If the devil can keep you negative, and I'm talking to me, if he can keep us negative, he can steal the joy. And this is one of Frank's lines. The culture is telling us everything is bad. What a lie. Come on. It's a lie. Nothing has changed in the last 3 years, weather-wise, the country we live in. Nothing. And yet if you talk with people, there's this morbid attitude that we're all going to die. The world is finished. Nothing's changed. And I can tell you, when Lori and I were engaged, getting ready to get married, we had a friend of the family who came to visit us at Lori's parents' house, and I've preached this before, and he's saying, oh, I'm thank God I'm not getting married. I wouldn't want to start a family now. We're talking about in 1979. You know, the world has gone to hell, and there's, you know, I'm so glad I'm not raising children. And I remember inside, and I said it to myself, and I said it to Lori later, no! I want to say, we're going to have some good sex and a good life yet. There's lots of life to live here. No, the devil is not in control. My kids will serve the Lord. We will serve God. Paul served God in prison. He lived this life. He learned the secret. Amen? We're going to live, man. We're not waiting to die. We're living. I'm not waiting for an Antichrist. I'm waiting for Jesus. And this culture that got people messed up, it's better to kill yourself. It's better to... It's a lie. We got to speak life to our kids. And I've preached whatever Dr. Stanley's message a while ago. You 40-year-olds and up, quit freaking out the young people. Saying, oh, this world's gone to hell. There's no future. It's finished. Yeah, you 40-year-olds. The future is as good as the promises of God. What He calls us into, I don't care if He needs to walk us on water, He can walk us on water. We need to feed the fire with passion. We need to pray for one another. And if the devil's been attacking what God wants to anoint in your life, come this morning, let's pray that He will break that off. You'll live in the joy of the Lord again. You'll have passion for the things of God again. You'll walk in victory. You'll serve Him with everything you've got. I'm talking to the crowd, the choir here today. Us, we are called. And if you're battling with contentment, there's this sense of fear. There's this sense of need. I better protect what I have. I better man, where can I invest my money? I've been told this week by about 3 people that we should be selling our house and we should be taking that money. And I don't know, some are saying buy gold. Some are saying take it to Europe. Some are saying whatever. I'm like, no, I'm going to serve Jesus. And if I have a house, praise God, I got a house. And if I don't, praise God, I'll probably be freer to go and do some good things for Jesus. Spend our whole life just sweating about some savings or some bank account, or I don't even want to name stuff. I love that contentment is learned, and he learned it. And to be in need, yeah, I like it a little better when I got some money. I've been rich and I've been poor, and being rich is better. I know that. People who say, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, they're usually the poor people saying that. I know that. That's who we are. We got to help ourselves. But there, if you don't learn the contentment, I know too many wealthy people that are not content. The saddest homes in the city, I know a couple of them, they're near us, and some of them are related. They are not happy. They have not learned to be content with much or with little. It's a learned thing. And I'm going to end with this. God is enough. God is enough. And we better learn it faster than ever in the day and age we live in. Our hope is in God. And we put our trust in him. I'm going to invite the band to come back. I'm going to close. But I'd like us to take a bit of time in prayer, if that's okay. We need to feed the fire. Amen? What is God calling you to do to feed the fire? In your personal life, but in the church, in your home, the passion for God. We need to be able to walk on the water. What storm is in your life? And I'm not like... It sounds like I'm flippant about a storm. Man, people are facing storms. We prayed with people right here this morning. But you're like, what are you facing? And God is asking you to have faith this morning to come. Come and walk on the water. And I'm going to invite you to come forward as a symbol of walking on water. And what is the anointing in your life? Be honest with yourself. This is before God, you and God. That area of your life that God wants to anoint, that the devil is just tearing down. I want you to step up this morning and say, God, I'm going to trust you. And if there's an anxiety in your life, if there's a fear in your life, if there's a struggle about, man, I need to find a way to just calm the storm and to be content, to be, and I like that line, he calms the hearts before the storms. I'll say, God, calm my heart this morning. So I'd like us to pray. Let's stand together. We can worship. Toby, be free. We'll pray. You want me to call them, or are you going to call them? They'll probably listen to you better than me. You're kinder than me. But if that speaks to you this morning, we need to feed the fire. We need to learn to be content. We need to walk out on the water. I invite you to come. Go for it.
Yes. And in pre-service prayer, if you were here, if you also need boldness, because we talked about Chad's.